So today, guests, we are joined by Doug and Nicole. They're extremely seasoned off-road triathlon athletes, coaches. They specialize in Xterra and other types of triathlon events. Doug, Nicole, how are we doing?
Hi, yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks for taking time out of your very busy lockdown schedule to come on the show today. So we spoke to you guys to get you on to hear a bit more about your experience in Xterra and find out about your history as athletes. Ladies first, Nicole, what's kind of your background in triathlon and Xterra then?
So triathlon I've been doing for a very long time, sort of 10, 15 years or so. Got into the off-road side of things a bit more recently. Did my first Xterra race in 2017. So I guess a lot newer to the off-road side of things than Doug is, but very quickly found out I wasn't too bad at it. So still with it and really enjoyed it.
Now you say not too bad at it. Let's hear some of those results because you're actually really, really good at it. So obviously you started off in triathlon, you've moved over to off-road. What's like your highlight and key results that you've had in your career?
The first big result I had, I guess, was winning Xterra Greece in 2018. Great race. And actually, to be honest, it was a complete surprise to me that I won it. It was a really strong field. It was off the back of sort of multiple races sort of week after week. So obviously feeling a bit tired, but obviously not quite as tired as everybody else. That was my first win. I guess the one that I look back on the most as being sort of a good one would be the European champs in 2018, which is the ETU champs, which I managed to win. So yeah, good results along the way. And yeah.
Well, yeah, some amazing results there definitely. And well done for winning the championships back in 2018. That's an amazing result to have a Brit up there on the podium. I'm sure it was a great feeling.
It was really good. Almost a bit of relief as well, I think. Just like, I've won once.
Oh, that's great. So, Doug, what about yourself? It sounds like you've been in the off-road triathlon scene a little bit longer than Nicole. What's your history as an athlete then?
I guess starting back at the beginning, I think like any kid in the countryside, you grew up riding your bike to get to places. That was pretty much it, with unwilling parents to drive you around to something that you didn't need to go to. You had to get yourself there. And that kind of, then, you know, you build up a certain level of fitness and you did a lot of competitive swimming, cross country at school. And it kind of all made sense to combine all three of them and become a triathlete. To kind of, you know, as an early teenager being part of the world-class program with British Triathlon. And you get to about 18 and there's like a cutoff, because you're either going to go to the Olympics and the likes of Alistair Brownlee, Johnny Brownlee, and, you know, those guys, they transition through and go and win their medals, and everyone else is kind of left to fend for themselves a little bit. 18, I kind of went, well, let's just go and race a bit of everything. You know, so I entered half Ironmans, entered an Ironman. Just kind of went and got myself stuck in with a bunch of different racing. Did some adventure racing as well. And I even did an obstacle race once upon a time. I think a farmer put it on in a field with a bunch of hay bales. And you just sort of, you know, you're wading through mud. And it was called the kamikaze. You had to wear a headband and march down a hill. It was pretty fun. Down your way, I think, actually, in Bridport.
Oh, maybe. There we go, in Dorset. So, yes, I've heard the race. I think they're bringing it back this year, maybe. Yeah. Touch wood. So there we go.
I won it twice, I think.
There we go.
Kind of progressed. I did my first Xterra in 2004 as a junior, I think. And then kind of there was a bit of a break, really. And then I kind of came back to it properly in about 2009, 2010. I just got on a plane and went over to Las Vegas to race one of the American rounds. Kind of my first introduction to this Xterra family that they kind of talk. about. You know, so I sort of literally turned up with my bike and my bag. Someone from the Las Vegas Triathlon Club picked me up from the airport, and I went and stayed with them for 2 weeks, and I didn't have to pay a penny for anything. You know, like, you'd drive me around, take me out to dinner, took me to Dancing with the Stars, and kind of that was my first experience of, you know, this big Xterra family. And then I was hooked, you know. So, you know, from the last, I guess, 12 years, I've kind of been racing fairly regularly on the European Tour and dipping into some of the other events. And all this coincided with meeting Nicole and getting her involved to it as well. So kind of had a partner in crime for the last 10 of them. 10 years. 12. So 12 years. Oh, I think you're
wrong. Yeah, don't get that wrong.
You can edit this, right?
Yeah. Don't worry. We'll edit that out, Doug. So that's an kind of an amazing journey then. So you were on kind of like the Olympic program or towards that style, and then dropped out and then just sampled a bit of everything. But I think you brought up one of the best things from sport in all, like the community within different sports. Like, you've met somebody from Xterra and they took you under their wing, took you around, showed you around, let you stay. I think a lot of different sports have that, like triathlon. I'm sure Ironman has it, Xterra, obstacle course racing. But all this traveling and racing, do you think that experience has really helped you develop over the course since you were really young? Has it kind of molded you as an athlete now? Do you kind of know where your strengths are? Or are you still just enjoying different things? Or is it just off-road triathlon that you're interested in?
You want to go first?
Yeah. I think for me, it is just the off-road triathlon that I'm kind of into now. I mean, I raced on the road for a long time, and I guess I'd sort of got to the point where I'd achieved everything that I wanted to on the road side of things, and was almost a little bit bored of it, I guess. That's when I guess took up the mountain biking, actually got into it, decided actually this is okay, it's not that scary. And just really love the off-road side of things. And like you said about this family and the community within the sport, like, actually, in terms of, if you look at all areas of triathlon, like road triathlon, off-road triathlon, actually the community around the off-road triathlon, it's incredible, really. And you think even sort of racing at sort of the top level and amongst the pros, there's just this friendship that doesn't seem to be in any other, I guess, aspect of triathlon. Don't get me wrong, you're all on the start line wanting to win, but after the race, you'll all go out for dinner. And there's just this, I guess, this almost like family. It's quite nice.
I think it comes from having a common enemy in the course and the environment and I guess the conditions you find yourself racing in. So obviously there is a winner. But an Xterra is incredibly difficult, whether you do it, you know, whether you win in 2.5 hours or whether you finish last in 5 hours. Everyone has a pretty epic story to tell at the end. So it kind of really doesn't matter what kind of happened between the start and the finish. Everybody kind of knows you've been through some sort of along the way. So it makes it very easy to share war stories, you know, over a beer and, you know, at the after party. And, you know, and a lot of people will race multiple events as well. So it's, you know, we've done races, like 11 races on the Euro Tour, and you see the same folk everywhere, and it's a real big mix of nations and nationalities. So yeah, it's a really multicultural experience, and it's just a wicked experience, really. It's something that we'd never get in another form of racing, certainly within triathlon anyway.
No, yeah, definitely. Like you say, on like the European Tour, you're visiting different countries, and like the same group of people are going around those countries, basically touring together and racing together. Obviously, not traveling together and stuff, but you're seeing those faces on the start line. You're seeing them at the finish. You're talking about the grueling race you've just completed. So yeah, I'm sure there is like a massive community around that, and it probably draws in all levels, like yourselves at the elite level, the pro level, and then all the way down to like open waves and age groupers who are there to enjoy it as well. So how is that traveling together as a couple to all of these different events? Is it better because you've got somebody to bounce ideas off, strategies? Does it make your racing better?
I mean, we're a pretty good team, really. Mm-hmm. Doug did all the driving when we went touring around Europe, so that was something that I didn't have to worry about. I just made sure that everything went in the car.
Yeah, I think there's no way. I think we clocked up like how many miles we did. I think something like it was like 4,000 miles or something like that of driving. And we had days where we did 18 hours in the car. Yeah. And
it was 12,000 miles.
12,000 miles.
I've
done a short range. But yeah, I don't know. We make a pretty good team. Like, I think obviously having the triathlon is kind of a big part of our lives that we share. I think you have actually got to, you know, have a life outside of that as well. So whilst, you know, we are racing, you know, every weekend, there's still 6 days and 20 hours of the week. You've got to be normal people as well. And of course you do training and stuff like that. But I think we're kind of chalk and cheese, really. You know, like, I'm pretty laid back. I'm very chilled out. I will happily take everything in my stride at my own pace, whereas Nicole is probably a little bit more, I'm not going to say OCD, but I am. Also, you know, there's a schedule we have to stick to and certain things that need to be done.
So wouldn't make it to the start line.
Well, yeah. So it kind of works with yin and yang, if you like.
No, that's good. And obviously you mentioned training there. How is it training? How does it differ from like a general triathlon where you're training like the bike on the road, you're training for maybe a road run, to Xterra where it's off-road? There's a lot of different stuff. Obviously you're doing trail running instead of road running, you're doing mountain biking. What's the difference in those for training purposes?
Well, I think the big thing is basically what you kind of measure and what you base your training off. You know, a triathlon on the road is all about, you know, how many watts you can hold in a certain position for a certain amount of time. Same goes for kind of running, really. You know, if you're trying to run a fast marathon pace, you decide to run at 6 minute mile pace, and that's what you know, you won't really vary much, everything is based around going at a certain speed. Mm-hmm. For a triathlon, and you know, Nico was talking about it on the podcast a few days ago, and every course is totally different. You have some races which are flat and fast and take 2 hours, and you have some races that are crazy hilly with mountains and will take twice as long. So generally, it's about kind of how it feels against the amount of time or distance that you're kind of trying to cover. So trying to ride up a mountain at a certain heart rate, you know, there's a point where you just can't control that. So you just kind of ignore the number your watch is saying. You just got to kind of know yourself a little bit. So yeah, when it comes to training for that, it's just generally having really, really good range of conditioning. So you're really good at going for a long period of time very slowly, but you can also, you know, twist the throttle, hit the afterburners and go really, really hard when required. And just kind of everything in your back pocket that you can just, I guess, bring out when you need it.
It's just a lot of adaptability, isn't it?
Yeah, just having a really good range as an athlete and being able to, I guess, be a bit of a chameleon and not pigeonhole yourself into, you know, only riding at your FTP plus 10% depending on the distance. Or
I guess looking at, like I say, a road triathlon and an off-road triathlon. A road triathlon, you probably have like one strategy for the race, or maybe two, just in case something goes wrong. Maybe on an off-road triathlon, you can have like multiple strategies, or you're just going to go off field to try and do that race, because obviously you don't know really what that terrain is like until you get to it. Has there been any races like that for yourselves?
I think with the pointy end of the field, sort of the elite races, we feel, you know, we find ourselves in, it's probably a little bit more, you got to go with the race. You know, so, you know, if you have a good swim and then a group of guys catch you on the bike and they start riding past you, you don't look at your heart rate and go, oh, it's, you know, I can do this. You know, you got to go. You got to chase them and hope it slows down, or hope you get to a bit where you can catch up because you're better technically than them. I know Nicole raced a little bit different to how I was. I was always playing a bit of catch, you know, after the front guys from the swim, but I was kind of in the middle group, so I was getting really stuck in with the racing. Whereas Nicole, you were such a much better swimmer than the other races. You were doing a bit more of a pacing job, weren't you?
Yeah. So generally, I'd be out the swim, I guess, sort of first. At most, I'd have maybe a couple of minutes, sort of, I guess, head start over the second place lady going out onto the bike. So from that, you can sort of take a look at the course, have a look at the elevation. You've obviously ridden it beforehand, so you've got a better idea of, right, I can hold this amount of effort going up this climb, and then I can recover a bit. And you just try and, I guess, pace yourself to go as hard as you can for the course. But obviously, you're still going to have those spikes in power with the terrain, but you've got a little bit more control of the effort. Certainly for a little while until you get caught, and then if you try to go with it. So yeah, I guess it's depend a lot can happen in the swim. So it's having, I guess, a lot of different scenarios that can happen, and then just being ready, I guess, ready for everything. I mean, you can't plan for every scenario that might come up. But I guess it's, yeah, thinking on your feet and going with it a little bit.
I've always said that Xterra racing is your success or your failure is determined by making 100 good decisions, like a minute, whilst being very tired. You know, and as funny as it sounds, it is a little bit like that. You know, if you've ever been deep into a race and you've come to a technical section, I guess in an obstacle racing, you'll come to an obstacle, you know. And there's obviously a very, very efficient way to do it. And then there's the way that you end up doing it after, you know, an hour and a half's worth of flat racing. Kind of how, I guess, how you know, in an Xterra race, how you approach a technical section, whether you choose to rest or whether you choose to press on, or whether you choose to chase an athlete, whether you choose to go over or under a tree on the run, even things like that, you know, make a massive difference when you add them all up to your overall result.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm seeing that. I was kind of thinking that the technical part of the race would be the biking section, but is the run very technical as well? Does generally most of the trail run section of it, do they put it on quite technical terrain?
Generally pretty tough, aren't they? Again, it's a mixture, and it depends, I guess, where you are in the world as to what the terrain's like and what they've got available for the course. There's a real mixture, so it's just, I guess, having that in your back pocket. Just, yeah, I'm good at hills, I'm good at running down technical stuff, I'm good on twisty single track. But then also, I guess, being able to open it up a bit if you have got a flatter section of road or something, for example, that just pops up.
It's generally the Italian races that are the most difficult. If you're looking at which races to go and do, and you're new to mountain biking or fairly new to off-road running, the Italy ones would be a bit of a baptism of fire, I think. You've got Lake Garda, which is great. The lake's amazing, but if you go more than a mile away from the edge of the lake, you're about 800 meters of altitude, so you can imagine the steepness of the hills and the climbs. You've got to get yourself up straight from the swim, and then obviously down again as well. And then Lake Sano in the sort of the south of Italy, the second Italian race they've got. The bike course is a 40 minute climb up a ski piece, and then you're straight down, you know, what I can only describe as a mountain bike downhill course. You know, I'm pretty sure I've seen race results from this place where, you know, you could actually go and, you know, full face helmet, full pads, and go and do a proper race. You know, yet in an Xterra race, we're going down there, you know, wearing a pair of speedos.
Yeah, so pretty brutal course then. And what would be the nicer courses that say are more of a doable course?
Well, certainly from, like, in terms of the Xterra Tour, some of our favourite races have been Switzerland is a really good one. So it's only just inside of Switzerland, you know, literally on the French border. So it's really easy to get to.
We have only done that one in the dry, though.
Yeah, we have only done it in the dry. But you know, this disclaimer there. But it's a really nice race and it's fairly flat. You know, it's along a valley. It's one of the faster races. It's normally won in about 2 hours by the fast guys, but it's not a very technical mountain bike course, but it's still a really, really beautiful area. And it's, to me, it's definitely still an Xterra. It's not like you still need a mountain bike. You couldn't get around there on a gravel bike, that's for sure. But it's still a proper race. But there's some options cropping up in the UK now as well for obviously not Xterras just yet, but for cross triathlon is, you know, we'll probably chat about it a little bit later on, but the TrailX guys do some really good duathlons that are really kind of friendly and a really good place to start. And then obviously the triathlon they do, which is brilliant. Those guys do a really good job of creating courses that get
for everyone,
they get harder the faster you go, if that makes sense. You know, so if you're an elite level mountain biker, you'll find a challenge from trying to get in between two trees and around the corner at 100 miles an hour, as opposed to someone having their first mountain bike experience who takes it a little bit more cautiously. It's a proper balancing act, I think. The race organising.
I was lucky enough to do one of the TrailX races the back end of last year when we weren't in lockdown. I did just one of their trail runs the day before they had the duathlon. After running it just as a trail run, looking back, thinking going around there on my mountain bike, yeah, it did look pretty gnarly. To be fair, I might actually give it a go next time when they do a duathlon. Why not give it a try? But yeah, they made pretty interesting course. A lot of switchbacks in very muddy bits, but it looked fun.
Yeah, was that the one at Crow Hill, was it?
It was kind of near Winchester.
Okay, at Matterley Basin. Is that right? They do a lot of motocross racing and stuff there as well.
Yeah, current. Wasn't 100% sure where it was, but it was a very nice trail run, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, duathlon would have been tasty. Definitely fun. But what about yourselves? What is your favourite Xterra race then?
Ooh. So I'll throw the question back to you and go, is it our favourite race course or just our favourite overall experience of an event?
I think let's go for favourite race course from yourself, Doug, and then we'll go from favourite experience from Nicole.
So probably my favourite race course that I've done, and I'm this is probably a bit of a left field thing, is so there's a race in the Czech Republic, or Xterra Czech. So they have two races in a weekend. They do the, you know, traditional long course race, and that's wicked. It's a point-to-point triathlon. So you swim in a lake up towards the top of a mountain. And then it's a really, really nice bike course that goes through this Bohemian forest. You know, and it's a mixture of kind of wide double tracks, and there's some really good single track. And then it gets really a bit tasty towards the end in terms of the technicality. And then the run is wicked. You basically run around all this old army, you know, from what I guess is kind of quite historical. I don't know what war it was, but, you know, obviously when Czechoslovakia existed, and now it's Czech and Slovakia, I'm sure there was some military training going on in the area where the race is. So the run is really interesting in and around all of these kind of old training grounds. So, you know, for the race, the long race is wicked, but on the Sunday they do a short track. So basically the top 25 athletes who race on Saturday go through to kind of like a really short, aggressive eliminator kind of format. You know, so it's a 200-meter swim. It's an 8K mountain bike on a really, really technical course. You know, so because generally it's only the pros racing, they go and put massive jumps, technical features, switchbacks around trees and things, and then, you know, you run on the same course as well. And I really like that because it's, you know, it's a mountain biking is kind of my thing. I really like the technical aspect of it, and being a bit biased allowed me to do better in the field than I would do on some of the more traditional power courses. So yeah, so I've kind of said two. I've cheated and I've said I've got two favourite courses. You're in the same place, at least. So,
yeah, they're the same place, so we'll take that.
There you go.
So what about yourself?
Yeah, if you're going for experience, you have got to pick Exterra France, really. I mean, we had a great time there a couple of years ago now, as we spent 6 weeks staying in La Bresse, which is just like, sort of 20 minutes up the road from where the race is. But yeah, it's such a beautiful, beautiful region, Vosage region in France. And yeah, they know how to put on a show. It's a real big race, and they build this sort of, call it like a bike park, out of all these pallets, and sort of send you up in between the trees and things. Picture it.
Well, if you can imagine a music / beer festival, and then they basically route the mountain bike course through the middle of it, and
through the trees and bike pallets and things.
That's pretty cool.
And it seems to get bigger every year as well. And then they have a big celebration afterwards. What day is it?
Oh yeah, for Bastille Day, yeah. They basically burn all of the ramps and stuff that they build for the event. You know, so 2 days later, they just turn it into a big bonfire and have a wicked time, I think. But
yeah, it's a really big atmosphere. There's always loads of spectators. They run sort of children's races the day before and things like that as well. So it's always really busy. Well, there's thousands of people that go and do it. Always food and stuff after the race, and yeah,
what France separates itself as well is that there's obviously it's the biggest race in Europe, I think. And you know, it's certainly a lot easier to get to than the World Championships in Maui. It's certainly a lot cheaper to get to. So for me, I think that you end up with a better field in Exterra France than you do at the World Championships. Weirdly, like, obviously the top guys go to the Worlds and the standard of them is unbelievable, but you get that such strength and depth. You know, you at the World Championships, you get 5-10 minute gaps and you might lose a place or two. Whereas at France, if you're 10 minutes slower than you want it to be, there's 50 athletes in between you, you know, so it's insane. Yeah, I agree with Nicole. Can I change my answer from Czech to France, actually?
I like the Czech one. The Czech one sounds really good as well, but they both sound great. Yeah, France sounds like the championship of Europe, then, like, the best of Europe. There you go. No, that's amazing. Really good. So we've spoke a little bit about UK off-road triathlon, about Trail X having a off-road triathlon and doing a few duathlons. Is there any other races that you would suggest to people in the UK to look out for?
I mean, there's quite a few up in Scotland, isn't there, sort of where we are now. So the Dirty Events guys run some real good races. There's a duathlon series that they run throughout the winter, and then they have their cross triathlon usually around September time, which is also the Scottish Championships up at Aviemore. And they always put on a really good race. We used to come up to Scotland years ago and do the off-road triathlon that they ran at St Mary's Lock. I'm not sure if that's still running now.
No, it's not running now. I think they moved everything up to Aviemore. So I don't know if you've... Aviemore's like the outdoor capital of Scotland.
September,
they've got this massive cross triathlon race with sort of 400-500 people in it. And it's very Scottish. It's all very kind of, you know, quite traditional and quite relaxed and laid back. And then there's tea afterwards. And it's, you know, it does embody the spirit of cross triathlon quite a lot. But they also run an event called Craggy Island Tri, which I don't think's run for a couple of years, obviously COVID last year. And then I think it's a bit like Glastonbury. They run it for a couple of years and they have a couple of years off. Everyone would, I think. But it's up on the Isle of Barra where the whole race takes place on this little island.
There's no roads.
Where there's no roads and no people live. So you get, you know, so what you do is you swim from the mainland to the island, where you've dropped off your bike the day before via pedalo or boat or something. and then you go and run around the island.
Nice.
Crazy concept that you just wouldn't get anyone kind of willing to do that, you know, in the road triathlon world. Obviously too much, a little bit too much admin or a little bit too much faff, but whether it's cross triathletes are a little more easygoing and up for a bit more of adventure. I think that's how the race works really well. But no, there's a myriad of like I said, events.
There's quite a few starting to pop up now, isn't there? There's certainly more now than there were even a few years ago. A couple of off-road duathlons in Wales. There's the Afan duathlon, which is sort of November time.
Yeah, that's a good one. They do like a standard race, so to speak, on the Saturday, which is normally the Welsh Championships. And then on Sunday, they do an extreme race. So they go and make use of all the technical trails in the Afan Valley, all the purpose-built mountain bike centre. So it's the same distances, but obviously you've got the technicality in there as well. But there's loads of sort of races, and, you know, between the mixture of the British triathlon calendar, you know, sort of the Tri 247 calendar, and we list quite a few races on our website as well. Although it needs a bit of a rejig with all the, I couldn't keep up with the COVID cancellations to what was happening and what wasn't. So we'll probably when it all calms down a little bit, but you know, but then, you know, you're not just limited to the multi-sport stuff. The beauty of being able to race off-road is that you can go and do mountain biking, you can go and do trail running events, you know, get stuck into everything.
No, definitely. And obviously yourselves, alongside being athletes, you're also Xterra coaches, and you run the Race Off-Road. Is it a coaching system, a coaching plan?
Yeah, so, well, there's a few different parts to Race Off-Road. Firstly, and what it was sort of set up for is, I guess, to support the off-road triathletes that there are in the UK. I guess, again, it's a fairly small community that we, you know, we want to spread a little bit, get more and more people into off-road triathlon. So there is this, I guess it's like a community club there that people can join, that just be part of something that, I guess, like-minded people are all sort of part of. As far as I know, it is the only specific off-road triathlon club that there is in the UK. So I guess that encompasses, I guess, a large part of Race Off-Road. And then I guess alongside that, we obviously coach athletes on sort of a one-to-one basis, so with individual training plans, supporting them around their racing goals. And then also we run a couple of training camps and coaching events throughout the year in the UK and also abroad. A Lanzarote camp was a big hit in 2019 now.
I've lost track of time.
Yes, unfortunately, it's probably been so long since people have been abroad, but I'm sure you remember the sun from Lanzarote, but that sounds amazing. Even just the thought of going abroad right now sounds amazing. But so let's talk about the camps then. So what are people generally come to the camps for? Is it the athletes that you're training, they come in to hone their skills towards going into the season, or is it open to kind of all levels? What's the main thing for the camps?
So with each kind of camp has kind of got a different reason for taking place. So, you know, if we start with our next scheduled one, which is in October, we do like an Afan weekender. So we go to South Wales. We all stay in a big guest house. It's kind of like a bit of an end of season fun, but with an opportunity to go and work on some technical mountain bike and trail running skills. You know, it ends up being a really fun weekend. There's not too much pressure to go out and, you know, go and do hours and hours of training. You know, we end up in the pub most nights, and people can just come and have a really fun time and, you know, and let their hair down a little bit. Chill out with like-minded folk, but also come and get some of these skills that, you know, they've maybe neglected practicing a little bit because they've been racing in the summer. And it's an opportunity when they're not quite so busy with full-on training at the end of the season that they can focus on other areas of their sport. So, like I said, it is a really fun opportunity to come and work on the skills aspect. fast forward a couple of months to our January camp, it kind of started off with, you know,
this is the camp in Lanzarote. So we sort of head out there for a week, usually end of January. I guess that came about because we were lucky enough to spend 3 months out there at the beginning of 2018. Again, loss of my years, 2019. Yeah, 3 months sort of living over there and just sort of doing our winter training and just got to know the island really well. It just seemed like a great opportunity to be able to take a group of athletes over to, I guess, train in the way that we did for 3 months and give them that training experience for the week. But again, it is sort of, we have all abilities there and we don't just sort of put it off at, oh, you need to be able to be at this level to be able to come. Obviously, you do need some sort of mountain biking experience, but we're almost from...
And guess, people who haven't even done a race yet.
Yeah.
Know, they've come to us to kind of learn what it's all about. You know, we keep the numbers fairly low. It's not like a cycling holiday, you know, when you end up with groups of 20, 30 going out. We generally keep it to about 10 or 12 athletes between coaches. So there's opportunities to split the group up depending on abilities. And the nice thing is it's with triathlon camps, there's always a bit of a leveler. So someone might be better at running, but not so hot at mountain biking. Someone might be mega at swimming, but still fairly new to the rest of it. So everyone's got an opportunity to, I guess, be the best in the group and also be humbled in the group, which does make a pretty good, it makes a really good, cool dynamic because you can kind of lean on athletes differently to help push other people. And, you know, the group's always changing. It's not just always the same people in the slow group, you know, and always the same people in the fast group. And but again, it's because we're off-road, we can manage things a little bit, like the average speed of the rides and the distance we're away from a start-finish point isn't the same. It's not quite as far as if we're road riding, you know. Mm-hmm. Even on a two-hour bike ride, we might not even be more than 5 miles from home. So it's for us, it's quite good in terms of logistics, and we can switch coaches and plan routes so groups meet up halfway through at the cafe. And yeah, I don't want to blow our own trumpet too much, but we do a pretty good job of making sure everybody, regardless of their level, has a lot of fun and really gets more out of it.
No, that's good. Fun is a key element in sport, so it's always good to have that. Say for a beginner who's listening to this podcast, you've mentioned like the skills. What are like the skill elements that people would kind of need to think about if they wanted to move into an off-road triathlon? Is there something specific from the bike riding that they need to have from the running? I guess swimming, there is a lot of skill involved, but if they've done like another type of triathlon, they may be okay with that. But what are the skill elements that you really need to move into off-road triathlon?
I guess my advice to someone moving from road to off-road triathlon is just ride your mountain bike. The more time and the more experience you can get on your mountain bike, the better. And you will pick up things and learn as you go along. So the more time that you can spend riding off-road and, the better, really. Also, I guess don't worry about pushing yourself to ride technical stuff that you're not comfortable with. Like that'll come. You can build up to it. You can progress, you know, at your own pace for it. But just enjoy being on your mountain bike.
Yeah, and I think the one bit of advice I would, and it sounds like a, you know, we're a hard sell. So just be, you know, we do coaching, so it sounds a bit like I'm telling people to just get coaching. But I really think there's a lot of value in going and spending a couple of hours with a, you know, proficient mountain bike coach just to kind of get the basics right. When we do a lot of one-to-one stuff, we really, you know, we strip it right back to the Billy basics that, you know, even as simple as gear selection and braking, stuff that even a lot of road and all winter on Zwift and then never think about, you know, the stuff that require effort to go faster. You know, how you approach the corner, your lines around apexes and, you know, and how you approach even stuff like cadence and going up hills and things. And it's that 2 hour session that you can have with a mountain bike coach is just worth its weight in gold. It's far better than any other bit of equipment you could buy that's on that money.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think coaching is one of those things that is an investment. People need to see it as more of an investment in themselves to get better. Even like with swimming, learning correct breathing techniques or stroke techniques would make a huge difference to somebody's swim. Same with running, to make sure that you're running in the right form. And like you say, mountain biking, that's probably one of the key ones because it's very technical. Finding out those little hints and tips could really make a big difference from somebody being confident on the mountain bike, going from being okay at just going over kind of grassy terrain to have more confidence to go over the technical stuff if they can change their gears correctly and use the brakes when they should. Mm. Even clipping pedals, how to use those, because sometimes they get a bit nasty and you can come off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, on the subject of clipping pedals, you know, some of the fastest mountain bikers in the world in downhill and enduro. I don't know if you've come across enduro, but it's kind of a hybrid between cross country bike riding and downhill. Some of the fastest guys in the world are still using flat pedals because they prefer to be able to move around the bike a little bit. The amount that you'll lose in terms of pedaling efficiency in, you know, I guess the loss you'll get is probably not as important off-road as it is, you know, time trialing on the carriageway for 2 hours. You know, on the flat pedal thing, my biggest advice is just go with. No point rolling a set of SPDs on thinking you're going to save 20 seconds, you know, a half an hour if you then ride the descents 30 seconds slower every time because you're terrified of coming off into a tree. If you're happy on flat pedals, you know, I'd just stick to them. And then you don't change for the run either.
Yes, that is that's true. No changing shoes over for the run. What's it like at the transitions on an off-road triathlon? Are they any different from a normal triathlon, or is it fairly similar? Do you put different clothes on because you're going mountain biking, or are you just biking in like a tri suit? What's the differences for off-road?
I mean, there's not much difference in terms of the actual transition element of it. You go from you swim, you do your transition as you would do to your bike, come back in off the bike, change to your run shoes, away you go. I guess there's a bit more thought that perhaps goes into it in terms of, are you starting with your shoes on your bike, or are you perhaps putting them on in transition, just in terms of what's the mountain bike course doing as soon as you get out of transition? If you're straight into a descent or some fiddly single track, you're probably going to want to already put your shoes on before you get there. So I guess it's, yeah, perhaps a little bit more in terms of what process are you going to do for each particular race. In terms of going through the motions, it's more or less the same.
I agree, really. And it boils down to basically practicing a little bit before. Decide what you're going to do, what kit you're going to bring with you in advance of the race. You know, don't leave it to race morning to decide, I think I need an inner tube, or I think I need an extra gel, because chances are you haven't got it in your bag. You know, so whatever you choose to do, if it's a full change of kit out of your speedos into some bike kit because the padded is way more comfy, then like decide it and commit to it, and that's what you do. You know, rather than having to kind of change things around, because you know, so many factors and so many, like, there is quite a lot involved with off-road try. You know, suddenly you're not just taking a gel with you; you're taking a bike tools, inner tube, something to repair the tire. You know, if you're off out in the woods, you're often a little bit more self-sufficient. You know, there are aid stations, but they're not like running London Marathon where you've got a bloke handing you Lucozade every mile. You could probably carry a little bit more.
Using your arms on the mountain bike. You're not really using your upper body much. I mean, okay, you might need stabilizing a little bit on your aero bars, but certainly going from the swim where you've used your arms, you've probably then ran up a massive hill to get to wherever your mountain bike is, and then you're straight into using your arms again. And then obviously you get getting off the bike having used your arms while you've been mounting up, and to then having to carry it around the front. That definitely took me a little bit of getting used to sort of my first few races. And
so would you say is there a bit more would you need a bit more upper body strength then when you move over from say normal triathlon to an off-road triathlon? Is that something that you've trained or something you would advise people to train just before for the mountain bike especially?
I guess it's perhaps just a little bit more practice in terms of practicing that transition, so you know what when you get on your mountain bike. If you are doing more mountain biking, you are obviously going to use your upper body more, so that strength will come. I mean, you don't necessarily need to do any specific strength training if that's not what you enjoy doing.
Just get on the dumbbells and build your guns up.
So 2021, we're hoping at some point this year there will be some live events, some real races. What's on the calendar for Doug and Nicole? Where are you racing this year?
I mean, at the moment, we're hoping that we'll be allowed out of the UK at some point. But the B plan, yes, an A plan's got a few of the European Tour races that we would like to get to. And then the B plan, obviously, sort of UK-based stuff, so sort of going to the Pippingford Triathlon, the Scottish Champs, hopefully the Craggy Island race, if that one goes ahead this year. I'd quite like to get to the ITU World Champs this year, which will be in the Netherlands in September, if things open up again and we can go over there.
You have to complete your set of medals, don't you?
Mm.
Got a bronze, got logical next step.
I
think like Nicole said, it's, you know, we're no one knows what's going to happen like tomorrow, let alone in May and June, July. We're certainly not committing to doing a big European tour. It is an expensive way to spend a summer, but
worth the money though.
Yeah, definitely worth the money. But no, there's certain races I'd love to get to. Like, I'd love to go back to Czech. There's some races where I feel like I would like to go back and race better. So, like, Exterra Belgium. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to go there. And, you know, the weekend has always been amazing, mostly because, you know, the massive party that's there. And I don't know if you've ever been to Namur, but it's got, probably the best beer and sort of nightlife in the world that I've ever experienced at a race anyway, which probably explains why I haven't done quite so well in the race. So I'd like to go back there and do a really strong race. And I know we've got quite a lot of our race off-road athletes are heading to Belgium as well, which is, we've always kind of seemed to have, there's a theme here. We tend to go towards the social fun races.
It's never a bad thing.
No, I mean, we would like to go to Maui to the World Championships at some point. But it's just a really expensive trip from the UK. Like, I'm pretty sure we are the furthest away that you could possibly get from Maui. If you want to go and do it properly, you know, Maui is obviously a really humid, hot climate. It's very different to the United Kingdom. So, you know, you got to travel out there a little bit before, do a little bit of heat acclimation, you know, so all of a sudden you're looking at 2 weeks of accommodation, go and recce the courses properly. And, you know, then you've got, you know, your 40 hours worth of flights to factor in. Then you've got to take your bike on the flight as well. And you're kind of doing the maths, and you can go and race, you know, 5 events in Europe for the same amount.
So it's a lot of outlay for one race, I guess. But World Championship, one of those experiences, I guess.
Yeah, he'll be on the list at some point, and we'll get there.
That's good. Good to hear. But so, where can the listeners find out a bit more about your your off-road club? Is it on the website, raceoffroad.co.uk, or Instagram? Where's the best place for people to find out a little bit more about yourselves?
So all the details of everything, I guess, we offer as a, as a club or the coaching is all best to find on the website, raceoffroad.co.uk. It's got a list of all of our upcoming training camps, details of personal coaching, if that's kind of you want a training plan for your next race, but also how to get hold of us for anything, really. You know, if you've got questions about off-road tri or you want to book a coaching session, it's probably best to go through the website. You know, we've got the socials, you know, just search for us on Race Off Road on Facebook and Instagram. There's lots of motocross accounts that you might cross, might come across, but you're basically looking for the little mountain and two lines in our logo. It's pretty easy to spot.
We will pop it down in the show notes so people will be able to find that as well. Okay. What about yourselves? Are you on Instagram to follow for your adventures?
Yeah, we're both on Instagram. What are you? You just Doug
I'm
Hall?
I'm just Doug Hall. Pretty boring. I was pretty early to the game, so I haven't got to have anything fancy after my name. It's just Doug Hall.
I'm easy to find.
Yeah, you'll mostly find irrelevant stuff to cross triathlon on my page. It will just be pictures of me out mountain biking in the woods or messing around. But maybe it's a fun side.
Hey, that's not a bad thing at all. I'm sure there's some lovely mountain bike locations out there. So, brilliant. Thank you very much, guys, for coming on the show. And thank you for telling us a little bit more all about your adventures and experience in Xterra. We wish you luck this year in your racing and your coaching for your athletes. Hopefully they save the party until after the race in Belgium. have a good day. Stay safe in the rest of lockdown, and hopefully we'll chat to you guys again.
Yeah, thanks very much, Luke. It's been great to come on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Luke.